o'clock. So we need to call the administration committee meeting for Wednesday, February 17th, 2021, to order. We have, this is being done as a Zoom meeting in accordance with the governor's meeting or requirement. In the room, we have myself, Rob Fredrickson, Marlis, our meditator, and on Zoom, we have Dan Transier, Joe Clocher, Bart Olson, and Aaron Willard. So with that, we'll start. I don't see anybody from the public for citizens' comments, unless anyone wants to make any as a citizen. So first item is minutes for correction or approval from the January 20th, 2021 meeting. Anybody have any comments or questions on those, or we'll just take them as presented, approved? Okay. New business, admin 2021-05 budget report for January 21.
Enrollments, I mean, get most recent news on sales tax and income taxes from the city council budget updates. One thing that is breaking today would impact our budget more for next year is the governor does have a reduction of LGF in the amount of another 5%. So this is related to the failure of the progressive income tax. You know, he said that you would basically take it from like a 95% allocation of LGF, what we usually get down to 90%. And, you know, after it failed, there weren't really any comments made, and there didn't seem to be a lot of support for it among its caucus. So, you know, I'm able to have the updates on this, we kind of figured that maybe it had been dropped, but during today's budget press, it included it there. So that's something we will have to fight against. We will see what occurs, but it is a loss of potentially $100,000 for us for next fiscal year goes into account. So the other interesting thing that's kind of happening is the Biden COVID relief package of like $1.9 trillion that Democrats nationally are proposing has some early allocations for states. States only, there's a municipal and county expected allocation that is still kind of full ground. State one is going to send like $7 billion to Illinois, which makes up its, you know, upcoming fiscal year goal. So I know that he's probably not going to put that in the budget assumption yet at this point, so I don't know if that actually comes to fruition here in the next month. If that's going to change the LGF calculus or not, but that's something that obviously will play from the lower end up, hope it comes in better. So that's all I have, so if you guys have any questions.
The only question I have, Bart, the IML sent out an email today, and it did show that it was a 10% cut. Is that just a compounded five what we already had?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way I understand it, and obviously I'm going to be. That reference is like, they change the percentage of it every year, and so at one point they basically just said like, whatever the percentage is that you're supposed to eat, you're going to put it. The packages. That's the way I understand it, but we'll see.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody else have any questions or comments on the budget report? All right, that one's informational. Moving on. Admin 2021-06, the treasurer's report for January 2021.
Beginning fund balance of $12,703,923. Year-to-date revenues of $26,003,000. I'll start again. Beginning fund balance of $12,000,000. All right.
Yeah, I'm just, yeah, two reverse gate.
Okay.
Okay.
Beginning fund balance of $12,703,923. Year-to-date revenues of $26,003,408. Year-to-date expenses of $25,362,442. For projected ending fund balance of $13,344,889.
Anybody have any questions or comments on that one? All right, I appreciate that. We're out. We will move forward to City Council onto the consent if nobody has objection. All right, next item is admin 2021-07 cash statement for June 2020.
So these are once again going to be reappearing in the admin packet after being on hiatus for a couple of months due to Rachel unfortunately leaving us, but we've been working with Sikich and we're starting to chip away at our bankrupt backlog. So we're here to present June. As always, the cash balances are on the first page and the city's investment balances are on the second page. And there'll be more to come. We plan on resuming these every month moving forward until we're caught up, and then once we're caught up, obviously we'll continue to present them monthly.
Any questions on that one? No? Okay, thank you. That one is informational for us. All right, so moving on, admin 2021-08 website report for January 2021. Everybody had a chance to go through that and look at the accomplishments for the city for the year. Any questions or thoughts or comments on this? This will go on to the city website. Do we link it to the Facebook as well in one of our posts?
We usually do, yes, or we can.
All right, very good. Now, I know this says move forward to city council. Does this need to be approved by the council or is it informational at council?
Does not need to be approved. We usually do forward it along just as an informational item. It's sort of like a state of the city type thing for the past year, so that's why we like everybody to see it.
So with that, I'll say we move it to city council, but on the standard administration committee report in case anybody has any comments on it. All right. Next item is the admin 2021-10 city council email account policy. I had a conversation with Bart. The only reason I put this on there was to consider standardizing the aldermen's email accounts, or aldermen and mayor's email accounts. I know the mayor has a city account. It would not change how you use it, so if you use a Gmail or something of the sort, it's just basically fronting it with the city email for standardization and appearances. So doesn't change anything with our privacy, because obviously we're not subject to FOIA if it's just communications with residents or that kind of thing. So I just want to put it on there and see what the thought was to have that as a standard policy, that we would be issued a city email and that would just be something that's provided. Any thoughts?
Just a couple points of clarification so everybody's aware. We do offer this to everybody when you get elected, and then periodically copies too, but if you don't want it archived or if you don't want, you know, the actual like city email full account itself, like we can set up like an auto forwarder. So it looks like bayrockville.il.us email address. Somebody will click it, it'll mail to that, and then it'll forward to your Gmail account. Just when you reply, it'll come from your Gmail account. So you have options there. There isn't really a preference for us. There's no policy against it one way or another. Just, you know, let us know what you want to do, and we'll make it work.
Now, the one comment part you said about when you reply back, it'll look like it's come from Gmail. There is a way to change that and have it front as the city account. So all exchanges could have that appearance. So that's just a thought. It doesn't have to be a hard and fast policy, but it's just something to consider if we want to look at this. Any thoughts? Clocher?
I remember way back when the first time I was elected, and I actually worked out okay, because that was during the landfill. And it was supposed to be forwarding and everything, and it forwarded nothing, which, when I got deposed, actually was a good thing, but I just know that sometimes it doesn't actually forward it.
Mm-hmm.
When there's mix-ups in it. So that would be the only precaution I would say, is that sometimes you get, you know, it doesn't always work.
I think our IT hopefully has gotten a little better in the, what, 15 years or so? Hopefully. Dan, you have any thoughts?
Does this, if we do this, add any type of complications, either reducing security or enhancing security from emails getting hacked?
Good question. I don't know whether it's, I would assume that it's probably stronger because it's, you know, it's an on-site encrypted email service versus, you know, Google's national service, which has ways, you know, you can hack an individual account. But I don't know that for sure. But that would be the difference is, you know, we have a cloud-based email server that has different security protocols and stuff on it, and auto-archiving. So, you know, a little different than like a Gmail account. It probably a little bit more robust. But it would be centralized versus you guys just having your own and being responsible for it.
And I do think if we're going to do it, we should all do it rather than piecemeal, having some alderman using city address, another alderman using their personal Yahoo, Gmail, iCloud addresses. So make it something that if we do it, we should all do it.
And that's where I brought it up, is if you look at the email addresses for everybody, there's no consistency in how, you know, everybody's names are on there, or, you know, most of them are Gmail accounts. I think the other one that has the city accounts is the mayor at the moment, but everybody else has their own personal system, and they're formatted differently as to how they've named their account. So that's a thought. Any thoughts on what we'd like to do? Do we want to discuss this more, maybe discuss it with the full council? Or make a recommendation?
Idea. Let everyone weigh in on it.
Okay, so we can send this out to council for a discussion.
Oh, we can do this at the meeting on Tuesday, actually.
Okay.
Since it's a relatively easy to understand discussion, there's nothing to prepare on our end, so.
Sounds good, Bart. Thank you. All right.
Would that additional cost be per email address, or would it be, so it would be a couple hundred dollars for each alderman that decides to use it?
Yeah, I believe so. Microsoft's like enterprise licensing has drastically changed in the past few years, and it is not simple in any way. So my recollection is that it's probably a couple hundred bucks a year per email address. But I will ask, because now that I'm thinking about it, you can like dial it down, don't get access to some of the stuff, and it might be cheaper. So I'll check in. We should have that probably verbally on my Tuesday.
Yeah, that's good, because I know there used to be ways of doing alias emails on a single account, but they have since changed a lot of that in the past couple of years with the enterprise. So there would be a cost. I'm not certain what it would be, but that'd be good to have that information. All right. Anything else on that one? Sounds good. We'll see that at City Council then. Moving on, Admin 2021-11, City Meeting Streaming Policy. So I had Bart add this one on there. So, as you know, we have Zoom meetings predominantly right now for everything we do, but the thought I had was, how do we get the public to be involved and the public to be engaged? And if we go back to in-person meetings, right now we don't have the consortium, and even with the consortium, they were not exactly live meetings. So the thought was, is there a way for us to do such a Zoom meeting where the public can log in, listen, participate, even if everybody else is live in the room? I'd like to see if we can do something in the interim before we get to the new facility that allows us to still continue with all the city meetings that we have, whether it's a library meeting or a Parks and Rec meeting, any of our committee meetings, that we're being able to broadcast them and still allow the public, even if we are in person. So that's my thought. Put it out there for Kevin.
So, I think this is probably going to be more the realm of, like, you know, either temporary or semi-permanent AV equipment than it will be like a software solution, because, you know, whether it's Zoom or Teams or any of these other streaming apps, and there are some that are maybe a little bit more, I don't know, government-focused or, like, board meeting-focused is the correct phrase, but, you know, it's got different functionality than just, like, everybody gets in a room and talks. So we can still run those software programs here in another building, but we probably would need to upgrade the microphone system, the feedback system, so that it's all kind of being mixed into, you know, one input, so that, you know, we don't have to do this complicated in-person, you know, muting, unmuting thing, which we can do a little bit of research on. I'm not familiar with anything better than Zoom at this point, but it is something that I'm interested in doing, because it wouldn't be that difficult if we had the AV equipment set up in a room, in different board rooms, to be able to just flip it on and say start meeting and start talking. It's more of a matter of, like, how do you manage it once it's underway, and so everybody can kind of hear what's going on. Mm-hmm. So my 2 cents on that one.
Yeah. Anybody else have some thoughts on it? Good.
I just would agree. Yeah, I mean, even though we don't get a lot of, you might get one or two more people that have an opinion. So I guess, you know, whatever we can do to make it accessible to the people would be better off. I mean, I'd be more apt if I had, like, one thing that I wanted to say to probably do it in my living room versus drive all the way to the city, wherever that's at.
Well, even like Jackie last night, she had a couple comments and she was able to just Zoom in for her couple minutes. And participate.
No, I agree with Joe. We can make it easier for people to see what's going on with their government, participate. I think it's a good idea, and it's probably the way of the future, too. So, I know the courthouses are contemplating not going back to in-person status dates, so the courthouses can do it. We're broadcasting them for public to see. I don't see why we can't do it either.
All right. Thank you much. So, Bart, is it something you can do a little research, you know, maybe pull, you know, what would it be to get a microphone that can work for the, like, the council chamber, and, you know, maybe we have a camera that sits in the room that's not expensive that just picks up everybody. I mean, we wouldn't have to have everybody on a Zoom as long as we've got one camera that picks us up and one mic, and then the public can see an in-person meeting. But then we also want to see, I think, you know, our other committees like Parks and Rec. It'd be nice for their park board meetings to be broadcast too. Same kind of thing. And, you know, the library, if they're going to meet in person, I know they did the other day. It'd be nice if, you know, we could get all on board with this as a city. So, where do we want to go?
I know that the courthouse has cameras that they set up on the bench where it captures the judge and it can capture the gallery. So you can see people standing at the podiums talking to the judge and you can see the judge at the same time. I think it also contains a microphone. It's relatively new. In the past 90 days, they started using that particular camera to capture the entirety of the courtroom. They're out there.
Sounds good. Do we want Bart to do a little research and bring it back to us? Or do we want to... We'll have it come back here, you think?
That'd be my recommendation. Okay. There's going to be a lot of different options and a lot of different costs. And, you know, I think it'll take a little bit of time.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate that. Good discussion. And then
we'll see what we can bring back next month. Okay. You know, my guess it'll probably be two months if that's okay.
Not a problem. Yeah, even if you just have a quick update, that'd be great. That's it on the regular agenda. Any additional business? None? Nobody? All right. Adjourn at 6:22. Thank you.